morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to thank Emerson for bringing all of these people together. So, thank you, honey. I have a few announcements. We have a thank you note, the gift we gave at Christmas for a smile frame, and a thank you note from World Vision. So we really did a lot of charity work during the holiday. Maybe this is the end of it. I have a few announcements. You need to sign up for the brunch we're having next Sunday. It's on the back table. The noisy can for March will be going to our missionaries from Nepal. So I want you to keep that in mind. And you saw in the newsletter what we're doing for Christian Neighbors this month. And next Sunday is our hymn singing for church. So are there any other announcements? How about some joys or concerns?
Carol.
Yes?
We've got a daughter-in-law expecting school.
Oh! Okay, Grandpa. Now, Bart?
Prayers for Doreen Green. Her husband passed away this last week, so.
Prayers for her.
Yeah.
Well, could you ring the bell, please?
Love and mercy. Reveal yourself to us in this moment. Let us know your
58, Come Christians Join to Save. It ought to be fantastic with so many people.
And any that are standing with them to come at this time. For the congregation, the response is found on page 44 in the hymnal. It's response number 2 on page 44. Do you want to be right here? These are words that remind us anew of the meaning of baptism. Baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which grace we become partakers of His righteousness and heirs of life eternal. Those receiving the sacrament are thereby marked as Christian disciples, initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. Our Lord has expressly given little children a place among the people of God, which holy privilege must not be denied them. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how He said, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Now the questions. And we went through these questions a couple of weeks ago, talked about them. Beloved, you in presenting Emerson for holy baptism confess your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You therefore accept as your duty and privilege to live before Emerson a life that becomes the gospel, to exercise all godly care that she be brought up in the Christian faith, that she be taught the Holy Scriptures, and that she learn to give reverent attendance upon the private and public worship of God. Will you endeavor to keep Emerson under the ministry and guidance of the Church until she, by the power of God, shall accept for herself the gift of salvation and be confirmed as a full and responsible member of Christ's Holy Church. You have to understand that we are an older congregation, and baptisms don't happen here real often. I'd like to see them happen more than they do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, in these moments, we thank you for Emerson and the joy and love that she has brought to her mom and dad, and really to her entire family. We thank you for what she means to them and what she means to us. And we pray that the commitments and promises that we have made together today will find their fulfillment in her life and her commitment one day to serve you and be a part of your family. We pray to that end, and we pray that you would help us, the part that we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to a time of prayer. We'll have a time of silent prayer. I'll lead us in a short pastoral prayer, and then we'll share the Lord's Prayer together. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. We're grateful to be here this morning. grateful that we can share in the baptism of Emerson. We're thankful for your love and grace that is revealed to us in so many ways, but often through children, babies, and young people. And it's our prayer that we might be given eyes and spirits that are open and receptive and able to see your hand at work in our world, in our lives. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your great love for us, made real through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that through him we receive life, we receive forgiveness, we receive your Spirit who guides us in life and is with us always. We thank you for the many blessings we have received. We're grateful that you are a God who cares about people, and so we offer our prayers anew for those that have been named in our service and those whose names we carry in our hearts. We pray for grace and mercy, healing and comfort, presence, your presence in their lives. We pray that you would help us as we are able to be a part of the answer to our prayers. We pray for our nation, for our leaders. We pray for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes all who name Christ as Lord, seek to serve you and to serve people. We pray for the churches in the communities where we live. We pray for the churches here in Saugatuck, Douglas, surrounding area. Help us together to be faithful to you and used by you to share your love and invite people into relationship to you through your Son. We offer prayers for this worship service and for each other. We pray that you might be present among us in a special way, and we might receive that word of grace and truth that we need for our lives. We ask forgiveness for our sins and our failures. We ask for added grace to our lives so that we might live in ways that please you and are in harmony with your word and your will. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law,
and to Israel for the everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he recruited kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine on the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He set a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. And verse 18, whose feet they hurt, and fetters he was laid in iron. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
At this time in our worship service, we have a prayer for healing, and there is a place where you are able to speak aloud or silently the name or names of persons that you would like this prayer to include. Our concern is not whether people speak over each other or not, because God can hear our prayer and the names we speak, whether or not we can discern them. So let's be in an attitude of prayer as we offer a prayer for those who are sick. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy, at this time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll worship God with our tithes and offering. Thank you. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you would receive these gifts that we offer to you today, that you would bless them and us, and use both these gifts and us in your service to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I will sing, "Nobody Knows the Troubles I'm In" on 520. I did want to mention that there is a letter from our bishop that's on the table in the back behind the last pew that's available to those who would like it. Our scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. And I want to begin by reading this passage from the Message, just three verses. Jesus was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There was a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She'd been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. "Woman, you're free,"
he said. And then he laid hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to my son yesterday, and Keith is an English teacher, and he had been Friday night and Saturday at a gathering in Lansing to hear poetry written by different students in the state of Michigan. And he said after the afternoon session on Friday, they went to supper, and there was a noted poet who recited poetry. I don't know how accurate this time is, but he said for an hour. And they were hungry, and the dinner table was set except for the food, and they listened, and he said they had a hard time listening because they were hungry. And I recalled what I had been taught in seminary, that I don't practice as well as I should. But I said to him, you know, when I was in seminary, they told us you should always speak, but short enough so that people would want you to, would wish that you spoke longer, rather than people saying, you know, I wish you would have finished sooner. And it seems like in my older age, I talk longer, and in my mind, I say less. So this morning, I made an effort to tailor my message to the appropriate time, and we'll see how we do. The scripture that was read just a moment ago by me, that from Luke, is a passage that I really like. It's only three verses, but when I hear it read or read it myself, I'm reminded of my great Uncle Henry. Uncle Henry, we called him. He was my grandmother's brother. He would have been my dad's uncle. He lived in a little town, Rob Roy, close to Attica, Indiana. And I remember lots of things about Uncle Henry. I remember he worked in a hardware store. At the time, he had one of the biggest gardens I'd ever seen. And he had this, this was years ago, he had this garden tractor, different than any that you would see today. And I can remember that whenever my brother and I were there, he would always take us for a ride around his property on a wagon, I believe it was, behind the garden tractor. And it seemed like every time we visited Uncle Henry and Aunt Fern, my brother and I left with the 50-cent piece in our pocket. There are many other things that I remember as well. But one thing I can never, never forget about Uncle Henry, and it's why the story of this woman in Luke reminds me of him, is that he was hunched over. He was bent over so much that as a young boy, I could look him in the eye. And when you're young, you can't do that with very many people. I don't know the reason for his stooped posture, but I know it was permanent. And he had lived that way the greater part of his life. I never heard him complain. And from my point of view, he seemed to manage to do most of the things that he had wanted to do. He was a man of faith, and he was highly regarded in our family. But whenever I see someone badly hunched over, I think, and I often remark to Mary, he reminds me of Uncle Henry. was just hunched over so much. And you know, there are people today who have that same condition. This miracle that Jesus performed of healing the hunchbacked woman is a reminder to me of Uncle Henry. And so I have a good idea what she looked like from my seeing him and others who have been forced to deal with that same physical condition. Sometimes words are used like crippled or handicapped or physically challenged, but whatever word you use, to have that condition is difficult, it's hard, it's not easy. And I've said it, but notice again, this marvelous story in Luke's gospel is only 3 verses long. It's short, but it tells us a lot. And I wish I had more time to talk about it, but I want to get a couple of main points. It was the Sabbath, and this meeting place they were in was a synagogue, the equivalent, I guess, of the church today. And by this time in Jesus' ministry, there were large crowds of people who were coming to hear him speak. Significant that Jesus noticed this particular woman who was bent over. Others were not seeing him. And so he saw her. And Luke, who is sometimes called the beloved physician, Luke was a doctor by trade. He describes her as bent over, not able to straighten up at all. And the Greek words that are used here mean primarily bent over and stooped in a fixed position, bent over or doubled. And she had been in this situation for 18 years. Now, I think we can try to imagine the suffering she endured. There had to have been pain in her body. It had to have been difficult for her to walk or sit, sleep at night. And because her back was bent, she never probably knew what it was like to get comfortable, either sitting or lying down or standing. She just couldn't quite do that. Been that way for 18 years. It's a long time. To be bent over, your normal view to be bent over like that is looking down. It's not looking out or looking up. Looking out and looking up, difficult thing to do. So she was bent over, looking down. And if you think about that for a moment, you might realize that to be in that condition, to have that challenge, can have an effect on one's spirit. The New King James Version of the Bible draws attention to this in the way the scripture is presented. And I read all 3 verses again, this time from the New King James. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, glorified God. Sometimes it can be harder to heal the spirit than it can be to heal the body. There's a little book in this series of sermons on miracles, healing miracles. There's a little book that a man by the name of Charles Allen wrote called The Touch of the Master's Hand. And he tells about, at one point in his career, he was a pastor. he spent some time, a few days, at a small college. And in the afternoons, there was the opportunity for students who wanted to come and speak to him privately. And one of those who came to see him, he said, was one of the most attractive girls on campus. He said she was beautiful and sweet, but she wore braces on her legs and could barely walk. She told him she had been voted the happiest girl on campus. But she said the other students did not know the truth. In truth, she was the unhappiest girl there. She watched others run, play tennis, go to dances, those kind of things, and she felt bitterness deep down. She kept a front up, she said, but every night she cried herself to sleep. I'm not sure what I would say if someone came to me and told me that story. I don't know if I would know the words of encouragement, but Charles Allen said he told her this story, which was a true story. He said it was about a very prominent newspaper editor, and when he was a boy, the newspaper editor was a boy, he had polio, which left him with braces on his legs. And as he was growing up, he realized that he couldn't run or climb trees and do the other kinds of things that other boys were doing. And little by little, he began to feel he could not keep up with the race of life. He would not have an opportunity to be successful in life. And this man said what was happening to him was those braces on his legs were getting into his mind. Spirit of infirmity. His father became aware of this and told him that someday he would carry him to the big church in the city, and there he would be healed. Finally, that day came. And he walked down the aisle. His braces went bump, bump, bump. And those who were sitting in the pews, at least near the aisle, heard that, and they all looked. And he said he felt very self-conscious. They went to the front. They knelt at the altar. The father prayed for a while, earnestly. Then after a while, the father turned to his son and said, "I have the answer. You have been healed." They got up and started back up the aisle. The braces still going thump, thump, thump. He couldn't tell the difference. But he said before they got out of the church, a feeling came over him that he was all right. In spite of the braces, he could be successful, he could live a meaningful life, and he said he never worried about braces again. What has happened was that God had taken those braces on his legs out of his mind. They were still there on his legs, but not in his mind. I think that was half of the miracle that Jesus performed for this woman when he said, "Woman, you're free." She hadn't been healed yet. She was still bent over. But the healing in her mind came first, and then straightened her with the second miracle. I came across this. I think I've heard it before. I think I need to put this up in big letters and put it somewhere in my office. It's what an old man who had experienced a lot of difficulty in his life, said, "Lord, help me to understand that you ain't gonna let nothing come my way that you and I can't handle." Heavenly Father, there are lots of burdens that bend us low. Help us to know that with you and your help, we can handle whatever life brings to us. Help us to believe that and have faith. And help us to hear the words of Jesus to this woman. You are set free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our communion this morning, we're going to use a portion of the order of service that's found on page 12 near the front of the hymnal. Let me say this about communion. Communion is open communion in the United Methodist Church. So all who know Christ or are seeking Christ are welcome to receive the elements. The way in which we will receive the elements is by coming to the center, coming forward, and there will be the small cups and broken bread. And you may take the elements and pause to take them, or if you wish, you can kneel at the rail and then return using the outside to return to your pew. And there are also collection places for the cups on each end here. Hear the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we will have a moment of silence where we can make our personal prayers of confession. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that these elements that we are about to receive would represent for us Jesus' broken body and his blood that was shed for us. In receiving them, may we also receive anew Christ into our hearts and lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping to come forward. Thank you. like to invite you to stand as we sing our last song this morning, 389 in the hymnal, Freely, Freely. Invite you to share with me the benediction that's printed in our bulletin. Let's offer this together. Grant us, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.